Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello, this is Ian Lee. Thank you so much for downloading Ian Lee's Random Access Memories, a retro gaming podcast. Do check out the Patreon, patreon.com/IanLee, IAINLEE. And also go to my YouTube channel and look for the Random Access Memories there. Again, it's youtube.com/IanLee. Thanks for downloading. I'm doing this week. By James Farley, who is one of the hosts of the Computer Game Show podcast. We had David on earlier on. It's one of my favourite gaming podcasts. How long have you been doing that for? Because I know David's background a little bit more, but what is your background with the pod?
So, you see, I actually started... You see, I met David on Xbox Live back in, I think, right at the start when Xbox Live first began. And
oh, wow.
Just completely randomly, like we were on a forum together, and then we ended up sort of playing games online together, and then we just kind of, I wouldn't say we hit it off, but we kind of like chatted quite a lot, and then he came to me with this, and he said, I've just recorded this podcast, and this was when podcasts were pretty new, people weren't really weren't doing them so much, and he said, can you give it a listen? I listened to it, I thought it's all right. It's not too bad, I was doing. And so that was how JoyPod was born. And he used to like send me like advanced ones for me to listen to sometimes. And, I got to, go through them. But then later on, after a couple of years, he just said, oh, do you want to join? Do you want to be on it? And I was like, first of all, I was very nervous about doing that because I thought, I'm not sure I've got anything to say. I'm not sure I'll be able to articulate myself. I thought, it's maybe not going to go so well. And the first one I ever did was, do you remember, I don't know if you know, it was on Play Radio as well.
I remember Play Radio, a very short-lived online radio station. It's quite ahead of its time, really, for two reasons. One, it was online. It was set up by Tommy Boyd. One, because it was online. Two, because it really flirted quite heavily with right-wing racism. Not your show at all.
Didn't do that. Yeah, that was
no. But there was. So it was very innovative in that way. But yes, I did a little bits and pieces there, and you guys were on there.
And so I went on that a couple of times, and then eventually he just said, "Oh, do you want to join like full time as the third person like on the show?" But at that time, I was like, "Yeah, I'd love to do that." But then I moved to China, and just as I was about to join, I moved there, and he was like, "Well, obviously you can't do it from there, so that's that over."
Yeah.
And so then I still listened to it while I was away, and when I came back, I found that Sean had stolen my spot on the podcast.
Oh, okay. And, this is Sean Bell.
Yes.
So we should mention Sean and Matt because there are other people involved. Mm-hmm. And so you came back from China thinking, sweet, I'm going to be in this nice little cushy podcast. Oh, there's some guy, isn't it?
Yes, he totally ripped off my space, and I wasn't very happy about that. And but then, it worked out okay because then they had me on as a fourth. And so it worked out.
It's such a good show. It's so entertaining. You pull a face as I say that, but what do you... It's difficult to look at the stuff that we make objectively. Mm. What do you think of the Computer Game Show?
See, I'm never really sure what to make of it. And the reason for this is I never... See, I never listen back to it. Like, I very, very rarely listen back to it because I don't... It's not that I don't like listening to myself. It's just that I just think, well, I was there. I kind of remember what
happened. I'm so with you on that.
Yeah. I don't need to go through that again. You know, it was fine. Occasionally I do, but... I mean, I'm really glad that people seem to like it. Like, that seems to be... That's pretty cool. But generally, the best thing about it is, you know, like, getting around to sit around with my friends and have a chat.
Yeah.
And despite all the things that happened, they are my friends, you know? So it's cool.
I never listen back to anything I've ever done. Mm-hmm. You know, stuff I've done in the past, I've worked with producers or co-presenters, they do all the editing. With this, I have to listen back to bits of it because I've got to, you know, sweeten it up a little bit. Oh, I hate it. And it is two reasons. One, I hate the sound of my voice.
Mm-hmm.
I notice I do this swallow thing quite a lot like I just did then.
Mm-hmm.
And two, it's like, right, well, that's done now. What's the next thing to do?
Exactly. You just think, I've lived that. That's I don't need to relive it.
You get a lot of nice comments because it's not just gaming. It's four men talking about everything, about being dads, about being partners, about being sons, about mental health.
Mm-hmm.
And it's more common now, but it's only just becoming more common to hear men talking like that. And you've been doing that stuff for years. And I've heard a lot of the feedback that you get. You get a lot of stuff from new dads, don't you?
Yes. Yeah, we get a lot and for people that are expecting children and things like that. And I think... partly that's because we've always been very upfront about talking about it because I never liked that whole thing about, you know, everyone seemed scared to talk about what it's like having children in any way, sort of saying that it's not like this amazing, wondrous experience where there is those aspects to it. Absolutely, that happens. But also, a lot of the time, it's really hard work and can be quite, you know, can be quite heavy on the family. And so we always really wanted to sort of talk about that, to let people, not just to let people know that, you know, it's normal to feel like this and to have these sort of mixed emotions about this sometimes. But it was just, it was good to chat together and to sort of see how we were all feeling, you know, about different things we were going through. I mean, it's weird because, you see, my kids are older than everyone else's. They're
right
by about sort of 5 or 6 years or so. So it's quite funny because I hear now what they're going through and I'm like, you've got more to come like soon, but you don't know. It's, which is quite interesting.
My boys are going to be 12 and 14 very soon.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to tread around this delicately because I don't want them to embarrass them if they heard this. But I overheard a conversation that they didn't know I could hear where they didn't say it, but they were hinting at a really bad word, one of the worst words. They were hinting at it. Mm-hmm. And I heard it and I thought, man, I got to have a conversation with them about this. And I went in and I said, guys, look, I just heard what you're saying. No one's in trouble. They didn't even say the word. They were just said, no one's in trouble. I need to explain why that word, why that word is so powerful and why it's a word that we should, you know, hold back for a special occasion. And we did it and I was uncomfortable and they were uncomfortable. And I was able to say, look, there's going to be a few more of these uncomfortable chats. It's part of being a dad. I love you both so much.
Mm.
And then they battered the crap out of each other because that's what 12 and 14 year old boys do.
Mm-hmm.
But that is that stuff doesn't get talked about. You've got to have conversations that are really uncomfortable for everyone involved.
Yeah. And we're going through that at the moment, like with my son, because we live in Germany now and he's just started doing like sex education at school. And he's 10 years old. And so there's been some really interesting conversations that have come up around this. But it's weird because, you see, like when I was growing up, no one ever told me, like we never talked about this at home, ever, like anything at all. I then found out later that my dad had given my sister, who's 10 years older than me, the talk, like about it. You know, like he'd sort of like explained the whole thing to her. And then a couple, like when I was maybe in my 20s, I said to him one day, why didn't you say anything to me about this at all? And he just said, oh, I thought you knew it all. Like that.
I seem to remember my mum gave me, she had this, like this little, it was, wasn't a pamphlet, but I wouldn't call it a book. Maybe it was green. And it was clearly made in about 1976, 3 years after I was born. And she said, right, you probably want to read that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're all, no wonder we're uptight, our generation. I'm a bit older than you, but.
But that's, I mean, that's exactly like my wife's, that was my wife's experience as well. Like she grew up in China and like when her mum wanted to explain this to her, she left a magazine on the table, which had like an article and then just said, read that. Just, you know, have a read of that.
It's amazing that anything ever gets done.
Yeah.
I got a frog in my throat today. I will, my eldest, you know, and I kind of did say at the end of this conversation, I said, Alex, we got a few more conversations mm-hmm. coming up fairly soon. And, you know, I'm sure they're having a great sex education in this school. I was never taught or told by my dad about respect. I can't believe we're having this conversation. We're supposed to talk about Alex's kid. We'll get to Alex in a minute. But, you know, I was never taught conversation about respecting and all of that stuff. And I feel I want to sit down with my boys at some point and say, look, I'm sure you know the mechanics. If any questions, ask me. However, there is this thing called respect, and there is consent, and there is treating people the way that they deserve to be treated. And that kind of stuff. Would you feel comfortable having that conversation?
Yeah, I mean, that's the kind of conversations I've been having with him, actually, because he's had a couple of... You see, he hasn't really had any questions about the mechanical side of the whole thing at all. Yep. But other questions about, like, you know, emotional side and that sort of thing, he has asked questions about, really. And which has been, I mean, I feel, because I always say to him, you know, you can just chat with me about this. And I always try and, when I talk to him about this, I try and talk to him as straight as possible. Like, I don't, and so far I think it's worked okay. It's, but I don't know. We'll see what happens. He's only 10 years old, so.
Listen, what's the Larkin poem? They F you up, your mum and dad. They don't mean to, but they do. Mm-hmm. How amazing, though, you have created an environment where he feels he can come and say those things and ask those things to you.
And it's also, I mean, yeah, although it's quite funny for my wife as well, because he loves asking her questions. And, like, just the other day, like, he was just about to go to school. He got had his bag on, just walking out. Then he just said to her, you know that... Can I say this? I don't know what I can say on here.
You can say it, and if you can't, not, we can bleep it out.
No, he was like, do you know, in class, they said that sometimes... people lick things like this. And then he was like,
wow.
And then she was like, okay, better go to school now. And he just walked off. And it's just stuff like that is just really weird. But, you know.
Going back to your childhood, get video games, were they an important part of growing up? When did they enter your life?
I think probably, I mean, there was obviously the granny's garden was, I think, one of my first experiences, because when I was in school, the schools were all equipped with, like, BBC, mostly like BBC Micros or like BBC Masters and stuff like that. Yeah. So it was always this thing in the classroom that I was drawn to as being like, you know, this just fascinates me. Like, I want to, you know, engage with this. My father was also a school head teacher as well, not of the school that I went to, but of another school. And so he used to bring that home during the holiday. Like the BBC Master.
So like some schools, you get the gerbil to look after.
We got the Master.
You got the BBC Master system. Wow.
Which was pretty cool, because he used to bring it home. That's when I first played things like Defender, like Chucky Egg and stuff like that. Yep. Because, you know, there was like, I don't know why there was like a disc of like games, but there was. And and also like all the educational stuff and things like that. But actually, like in general, my parents were not that keen on gaming, like at all. It was not something they really... encouraged me to do, but I became quite obsessed with it quite early on. And I used to go over friends' houses, and they were always like, you know, they had like, you know, Master System, NES and stuff like that, and Atari and things like that. And I just really wanted one. But all the time I was always asking, you know, can I get this? And they were just like, no, it's not going to happen. And but eventually I ended up, I mean, the reason I wanted to talk about Alex's kid is because I ended up getting a Master System 2, which was like the revision model of the first one. And I think it was 1989 or maybe 1988 or 89. And what it was is I went into a competition in Rice Krispies. You know, like the cereal.
I'm so sorry. That sentence has done me in. I went into a competition in Rice Krispies. Yeah. I was not expecting that. Go on. Carry on.
So what they were doing, this was in the 80s. And it was funny because actually today I was just looking up on eBay just to see if the stuff was still, you know, if you could get any of this stuff, you know, from before. But they were running this like competition whereby it was the usual like collect these tokens and then send off a tiebreaker. Actually, I wasn't expecting to win the Master System, which I did. You know, that's what happened. I really wanted the toy that they sent out, you know, with it. Because what it was like a Sega Master System pad that I had that sort of like a sort of a gun that you could like point at things and shoot and it made noises. And I just thought I was like 9 years old and I thought that is the coolest thing ever. And so I really wanted that. So that was the motivation. And then I ended up winning the machine, and it was it was incredible. Yeah, I came home and I mean, my parents did the usual thing and made me do all the homework and everything. And they were like, oh, this came for you. And it was Mars System 2. And
hang on, you came home, you did your homework and stuff, and then they went, oh yeah, by the way, there's this.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
It was. Wow. I have never heard of anyone winning any of those competitions before. I don't think I've ever heard of anyone winning a console at all. That must have been mind-blowing at that age.
It really was. And also because, you know, in those days, there's no internet. You don't know, like, what these machines are. Like, I didn't know that this was, like, a second version of, like, the original one that my mates had. And I was like, what is this? Because it looks really different, you know, what they've got. And, then discovered, you know, that it was same thing, just, revised down, made a bit smaller, that kind of thing. You know, like the sim models we get nowadays.
Did it come with a game, or did you have to go out and buy some?
Well, it did. You see, this is why it came with Alex Kidd.
And it was Alex Kidd in Miracle World.
Yeah, Alex Kidd in Miracle World. So this was the pack-in for it. I mean, later on they changed it to Sonic the Hedgehog, but this, you know, Alex Kidd was the one that I got. But I spent a lot of my time when I was that age, like, saving cash, because I used to get, I think it was like £1.50 a week or whatever, you know, like pocket money. And yeah. I used to, you know, like outside the newsagents' boards, they'd have like people selling games and stuff, you know, like secondhand games and things. You know, like...
No.
You know, maybe it was just where I live, but, you know, you had like the newsagents and they used to have like the advertising board outside, and then it would like people would stick up like these things like for, you know...
Oh, like the postcards in the windows and stuff. Some of them quite naughty.
Yeah.
I didn't know people were selling video games.
Yeah, yeah. So there was all like secondhand Master System games up there. So I used to like save my cash. And I wanted to talk about Alex Kidd, but then the worst thing was I saved it's like £1.50 a week. I had some expenses. I had to buy the Beano and stuff like that. So that's 50p a week or whatever gone.
Yeah.
And so it took me probably about 2 months or so to save up £10. And I was like, I went down to Dixon's in the town centre and, you know, to see what games I could buy. And I was really excited. But then I realised I could only buy from the budget range because all the good games were like 20 or 30 quid. And I ended up with this game called Transbot, which is one of the worst games. It's appallingly awful.
I don't think I've heard of it. I do like appalling games. What is Transbot?
So it's kind of like a side-scrolling, kind of like R-Type, you know, kind of game.
Yeah.
But very slow and very monotonous with no end. Like, it's just terrible music and awful. And I remember, like, getting it home, putting it in, trying to convince myself that it was good, like, for quite a long period of time. And then trying to trade it with people at school. And then, unfortunately, it worked a couple of times, but then the word got round that it was terrible. And nobody wanted to trade it with me anymore. So back to Alex Kidd. Yeah, that was the thing.
I kind of missed out on this generation of computers. I was really into I had a BBC Micro. Mm-hmm. I went from a Dragon 32 to a BBC Micro, both quite dull computers. Always envious of the Spectrums and the Commodores. Mm-hmm. But I loved it. I really, really enjoyed it. And then I must have got to about... it must have been about 88, 89, 16, 17. And I just got bored of it. It wasn't doing it for me. I discovered, you know, beer and all kinds of things like that. So I missed out on the NES and the Master System and all of that stuff. A couple of drunken nights playing Sonic with a few people. But I didn't get back into gaming until years later. I went round to a friend's house.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
They had a black box on the telly. I said, "What's that?" Yeah. And they went, "Oh, it's a Sega Saturn. Do you want to have a go?" I went, "Yeah, I'll give it a go." And I played Wipeout on it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, oh my God, video games got this good.
Yeah.
But I did have a period where I borrowed a Master System for a week Mm-hmm. And I did play Alex Kidd on it. Alex Kidd and I think Sonic are the only two games I've ever played mm-hmm. on there. And Alex Kidd, I'm so bad at those games. I watched someone doing it today mm-hmm. on YouTube. And of course on YouTube they make it look so easy.
It's really not.
Getting all the jumps and the punches in the right place. I struggled so badly mm-hmm. with it. How did you find it?
Well, you see, I mean, this was pretty much the only game I had, so I spent a lot right. of time with it because there was no other avenues for being getting games at that time. And also, this was the other thing that was really annoying because Transbot, as I mentioned, I had the cartridge for that, so I could trade it even though nobody wanted it. People in my class wanted Alex Kidd, but it was built in, so I couldn't trade it.
I see what you mean. I thought it came with a cartridge. No, it was actually part of the system.
Yeah, it was part of the system. So when you switched it on, that was the first game that would play. And so that was really irritating. I had some hot property here, but I couldn't share it with anybody, which was really, really annoying. And so I spent a lot of time playing it. And it's funny because going back to it, because I've played it like every couple of years now and again, I put it back on. And I just realised, I mean, it was hard. It's a very difficult game. And it's also incredibly unfair as well in many parts. But also there are things, I mean, now I would say there's many technical things wrong with it. Like, the collision detection is terrible. There's also, you saw like the whole rock, paper, scissors, like mini game stuff.
Yeah, that I remembered that from when I played it.
Mm-hmm. Which that's an odd mechanic, like to have like as a boss like battle. Fortunately, they're not, it's not randomized each time. So if you've been through it a couple of times, you could just write down what the answers are and then you could like get through it, which makes it a bit pointless, which is not so good. But then the other thing about the game that made it very difficult was the fact that there were so many things in it which were, there's no way you could know. Like, it was completely, it was a bit like, do you know Castlevania 2?
I'm not too hot on the Castlevanias. What was 2?
So Castlevania 2, it was Simon's Quest, I think it was. It was, that had a part in it where, to get further in the game, you had to walk over to a wall and then crouch down, I think it was, for like 15 seconds. And
I hate that stuff.
And then it would, like, this whirlwind would then take you off. And it's like, how on earth would you know that? Like, there's no way that you would know. And the reason they had stuff like that in was because, they were selling, like, tips books and all sorts of stuff like that, that people, you needed that stuff, to get through it. So with Alex Kidd, there was quite a lot of stuff like that, which was kind of esoteric and didn't really make a lot of sense. And I've still got, I'm back in the UK, like the manual for the game with all of my notes from like 9-year-old me, as I was playing through trying to figure things out. And I did eventually beat the game. And I think it took several years, actually, I think, for me to actually finally get through it. And I did finally beat it. And I remember I was so excited, ran into the front room. It was like Saturday morning or something, to tell my parents. It's like they didn't care. They're just like, can you leave us alone? We're trying to sleep. This kind of thing. But I was like, this has been a massive achievement. And it's like, but they didn't care. And
That stuff with the notes on, that's treasure, James. You've got to dig that out. I'd love to see that.
Yeah, it's probably, I've got boxes of this sort of nonsense from before. And but as I said, I still have fond memories of it because when I was growing up, like, very few people I knew had like the NES or anything like that, and Mario was this thing which was like sort of far away, really. That was kind of,
the NES wasn't that big in the UK.
No,
I don't think it was. It was more Mega Drive, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, when I in my class, like, this is ridiculous, isn't it? Thinking about things like this, my class, like, how, that's like 35-40 years ago now. It's like everybody had like Master Systems, or they had like Ataris, or that kind of stuff. And there's not so much. So, but there was still this idea that Sega needed to have some sort of like mascot kind of game. And you can see they were really, really trying to ape Mario with this, but it just wasn't as fun. It really.
Oh yeah, watching the video of it today, I was oh, it's a Mario clone. Mm-hmm. I see. Now, with older eyes, you can see exactly what mm-hmm. they were going for. Was it fun? Did you have fun doing it? And I asked that because not all games are fun. Some of them feel like hard work. And I get the feeling that this might have been a job.
I don't know, actually. That is a good question. Because, I think when I was younger, probably I thought it was fun. Because I had no frame of reference for, what something could be and how something could be a lot better than it was. And I did enjoy it. Although, you see, recently they released a DX version of the game, which was like a remake. I think it was in, when was it? 2020, I think it was, or 2021. And this was like, we've reworked graphics and, everything, reworked sound and everything, but still the core same game. And so I downloaded this because I was like, amazing. Like, I want to, relive my childhood, the whole the whole usual thing. And yeah, played through it. And I was like, yeah, this isn't a very good game. But actually, it's really not. But I still have all these memories of playing it and just, you know, spending time on, you know, the TV that was like partially broken, you know, like in the room. You know, it's childhood stuff, isn't it? You remember that.
Did friends come and play with it, or was it purely a sole activity?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, friends used to come over and play, but it was a single player game, so it was mostly sitting there on your own. You know, sort of.
And did you have a thing like me where you kind of drifted away from video games and came back, or were they always a constant going on?
Kind of, I'd say. I mean, I drifted away from console games, and then I moved on to like PC in the early sort of 90s. And but then I think it was with the N64 I went back, back into consoles again, because I don't know, I've always just preferred them. It's just easier. It's,
you know. That PC gaming in the early 90s,
it was brilliant.
Mid-90s, that was wild, right?
Yeah.
Suddenly, I remember being obsessed with EverQuest and Half-Life because you could play online with other people. That had always been the dream. And I remember these really glitchy games of Half-Life where you like spawn in the middle of midair and you couldn't move. Oh, I loved it.
Yeah.
Oh, I loved it. That's when it started getting exciting. And it's interesting you mentioned befriending David on Xbox Live, because that happened quite a lot. Did you ever play Uno on Xbox Live?
Yeah, I played it. Well,
with the camera?
Oh, yes.
Did you ever see stuff?
Oh, I saw a lot of stuff on that camera.
It was the weirdest thing. This must have been, I was at LBC, so this would have been, I guess, about 2005, six, something like that. And you're playing the card game Uno, and you got your camera. It's really cool because you can see the table and there's a camera and you could see people at home. Boy, oh boy. I don't want, you know, it's going back to the sex talk. I saw both,
I mean,
shall we say.
It was like chat roulette, wasn't it? Like, pretty much going on that game.
It was like chat roulette. And do you remember as well, the Xbox had a voice modifier?
Yes, that was very
funny.
That
did happen, didn't it?
Yeah,
I didn't dream that.
You see, I was part of a, like, from the forum that we were on, there was, like, a whole group of people that had, like, set up these, like, clans, you know, that we were, because we were playing, like, Rainbow Six.
Yeah.
So we were playing Rainbow Six, like, we were playing, like, Rainbow Six 3. And I remember one time, like, there was, this clan was set up by this guy, and there was a huge, big group of people, there was about 20 or 30, you know, people from this forum on there, and there wasn't enough space, you know, like, for everyone to fit in. So this guy that was running it just started deleting people that he didn't want in the clan off it. And then this guy came in who was really annoyed because he'd been kicked out. But he was using what was called the Dark Master, like, voice mask. And he was like, why did you kick me out of the clan? And it's ridiculous. It's really funny.
I'd forgotten about clans.
Yeah.
One of my favourite things, playing games like Rainbow Six and Left 4 Dead, I love a team kill.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I love team killing. It's my favourite thing. With Left 4 Dead, you could do it. The zombie game, you shoot them and they're on the floor.
Mm.
And you go, I'm so sorry. I promise. Let me heal you. I promise I won't do it again. Shoot me in the back. Shoot me in the back again. Amazing that you became friends, though, that has lasted years and years and years.
Yeah.
As a result of that.
It is weird. It's because we've sort of kept in contact over the time. We still played. See, we don't play online very much at all anymore. That very rarely happens. Mostly because, I mean, David's playing like FIFA all the time and stuff like that, which I enjoy as well. But I prefer the single player sort of approach to that. I'm not really into the online with it. And I think it's mostly because we talk on the show all the time. And it's all the time you get that whole thing of, like, you start having a conversation and David's like, save it for, you know, for when we're on the show. It's
my boys think it's kind of cool that I play video games. They'll come and see me playing COD. I play a lot of COD, and they'll come and see that. And I've got, you know, for this job of streaming and stuff, I've got pretty decent gaming PC and it's got stuff on there. And I say, do any of your other parents of your friends play video games? They go, no, not really. Maybe the odd game of FIFA and stuff. But I'm considered, apparently, by some of their friends, kind of cool.
Really?
Because I play this stuff. And I'm wondering if you're getting any of that cool vibe for
being a
cool gaming dad.
I don't know about that. I mean, my son is really heavily into games. Like, it's like a big part of his whole sort of thing now, and I know for a fact that he's like the kid. It's really weird, isn't it? Because I remember growing up, there was always the kid in school that had like all the games and all that kind of stuff, and that wasn't me when I was growing up. And it was like, you know, you go over the house, it's like, how have they got all this stuff? And then now I know that my son is probably that kid, and it's just I don't know, it makes me feel uncomfortable.
Well, oh, uncomfortable in what way? What, you're worried that people are judging him because he's got that stuff?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, it's strange. But then, I don't know, kids, a lot of the kids have, you know, they have a lot of stuff now anyway, so it's maybe not so much of a thing. But I don't know, it's just strange. Because you know what, you remember what it was like growing up in the 80s? It was like there wasn't a lot around, you know, during that time.
It was rubbish. People look back on the 80s with, oh, it must have been so good. No, it was horrible. Yeah. And the 90s for most of it. Mm-hmm. Miserable. Anyway, sorry, I interrupted.
Yeah, so it's strange because it's like, you know, he's the kid that's got all this stuff. And, yeah, I mean, kids, what's really cool now is that, like, kids come over and they play, like, Minecraft together using, like, you know, the computer and, like, PlayStation we've got and stuff like that. And then he arranged the other day this whole like thing with his friends in the UK, his friends in Germany, all playing together like Minecraft, which is pretty cool. Yeah. I was impressed by that. It's
I think that is impressive. I've said this before that during lockdown, I let my kids play Fortnite and Minecraft and Roblox. I don't really like Roblox. Pretty much as they wanted, mm-hmm. because they were playing with their friends at a time when they couldn't go to school, they couldn't meet up with their friends. They would spend an evening playing Fortnite and laughing and joking and you know, doing what kids do. And I found that such a... I think it kept them sane during lockdown. It's really important.
We had a funny thing with that, like, because with the class, like, I remember overhearing, like, you know, but they had like those lockdown lessons, you know, with the, you know, the, with, you know, with the lessons, with the with the teachers and stuff. And then like the teacher was like saying to the children, like, what are you doing this evening? And like all these kids were just saying, like, I'm playing Minecraft with Asher. And it was just like, which was my son's name, you know, it's like it was all of them were saying this, and she was like, oh, Asher seems to be, you know, like creating something here. It's like,
Have they? Has he expressed an interest in YouTubing or doing anything online? Because that's very popular. Both my kids have got these kind of very low level YouTube channels. Mm. They haven't done anything for a while, but all they do is watch YouTubers. They don't watch TV or anything like that. And I wonder if that's rubbing off on your kids at all.
Yeah, certainly with YouTube. Like, as in they are always. I mean, my son is completely obsessed with just watching YouTube creators most of the time. He doesn't seem to be terribly interested in doing it himself, but he's more. He follows like quite a few of them. Which I mean, I'd have to recommend Brick Show Brian. He's the guy that he followed for a long time.
I don't know Brick Show Brian.
He's brilliant.
He sounds good.
Yeah, he's great. He's so basically he's like a, you know, like a kids, like a kids one, and he used to do like Lego builds and stuff like that, and then he also does gaming and things. But he did this really nice thing because when we were moving to Germany, obviously for the kids this was quite a big thing, you know, to move to another country, couldn't speak the language, you know, the whole thing. And it got to Christmas and we did one of those like cameo kind of things from this guy. And he said this whole thing, and we didn't even tell him very much information. We just said, oh, you know, we're moving to Germany. Our son's a bit, you know, a bit worried about it and everything. If you could just say something. And he did this massive long thing, like saying, like, you know, he was, you know, saying, oh, you got, you know, you're very brave doing all this and this kind of thing. And he was so happy. And it was just like, it's brilliant, you know, that sort of thing.
Oh, well, that's magic. Yeah. Well, in that case, the double thumbs up to Brick Show Brian.
Yeah.
I find the YouTube stuff fascinating. I'm getting into it, but I'm just watching old men, generally old bald men with beards, 50% of the computer game show, taking apart Commodore 64s and recapping them and resoldering them and putting in Raspberry Pis and things like that. David, Sean and Matt, your co-hosts, they don't know you're doing this.
They don't.
We have kept this secret. I'm wondering what you think their reaction is. We're in a WhatsApp group. It's a little bit incestuous, this. Mm. We're in a WhatsApp group, and this was going to go up on Monday for the Patreons. So I'm expecting an excited message from David. What do you think they're going to say when they realise you've done this?
I don't know. I'm expecting sarcasm, you know, sort of, that sort of thing. I'm not really sure, honestly. Really not sure.
You look really uncomfortable as I'm saying that.
Yeah. I don't know. I always feel uncomfortable.
Why do you feel uncomfortable?
I don't know. It's I don't really know what to make of it. It's I don't know.
Strange. Do you ever get recognised?
It's happened twice, I think. And one
weird,
time
right?
was during lockdown, which was the weirdest thing ever. Because I went for a walk in like the because I was living at the time like in a village, like outside of it, like outside of a like a city. And I was walking, just, you know, doing your, you know, we were allowed to go out,
we were allowed an hour,
for, like, you know, to walk out. So I was just walking along, and then this other guy, like, walked past me, and then he turned around, and he just said, do you do a podcast like that? And I was like, yeah. And he was like, it's really good. It's, you know, and I was like, thanks. And then that was it.
That's incredible.
It was very strange. Yeah, it's really, really. And it's one of those things where nobody would have believed that had happened, but fortunately my daughter was with me, and she could verify the fact that it had happened. Yeah.
How did she find it? Was that weird?
She thought it was cool. But it's, I mean, it's my wife that always just laughs about all these things. She just thinks it's ridiculous. It was just quite funny.
You know, if I'm asking anything that's too personal, let me know. You do shows. You guys do shows where hundreds of people turn up. You get thousands of downloads every week. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got a great Patreon that is earning a chunk of change. Does your family, do they know how big it is, the computer game show?
No, and I don't think I'm quite happy with it like that as well.
Okay.
You know, it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, I mean, my wife knows about it, but she's supportive of me doing it, but also not, she likes to laugh about it all the time. So it's,
Well, I hope you don't think I've taken the piss out of you tonight. I'm aware that happens a bit, you know, on the computer game show. And I think you're great and I love the show. And I think, you know, that you're the best one. Very quickly about being recognized. I was in a hospital today, and as I came out, Santa was walking towards me, right? I think it was the real one. And I get really excited. I went, "Hey, Santa, I hope you're all right." And he went, "Yes, I am. Get back on the radio soon, young man." I was like, "Oh, my God, Father Christmas, recognize me. This is the coolest thing." I looked up Alex Kidd on eBay. Mm-hmm. There are some chances they're trying to sell it boxed for £150. That feels expensive to me.
That makes sense, though, because most people had it as the built-in game, and the actual cartridge version maybe not quite so common. So that's probably why. I think there may even have been a card version of it as well, because the Master System had this weird thing where you could use cartridges and cards. But
I think maybe the one I played, it was on a card, like a little thin, like a credit card.
Yeah, yeah. But that only worked with the original version of Master System, and so the one I had didn't play card games, which was exactly the same thing. But yeah,
it's so lovely to spend some time with you, away from those other noisy boys.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming on the Computer Game Show podcast. That's available everywhere you get your podcasts. It's free everywhere. There is also a Patreon. Do you want to give the Patreon a little plugette? You can't remember, can you? I'm so sorry. I put you on the spot.
I think, what is it? Is it just like patreon.com/TCGSCo, I think?
Or is Look it for the Computer Game Show on Patreon. Very quickly, I want to thank my Patreon producers. I've written it in a rush and I haven't got my glasses on. We've got Mark Gidley. We've got Martin Warren, Craig Hannon, Sam Hughes, Harsh Singh, and executive producer Matt Stanley Evans. If you want to find out more about my Patreon, patreon.com/IanLee. James, thank you so much. It's really lovely to spend some time with you tonight.
Thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.